Keep that Bible passage open, won't you? We're going to have a brief look at it now. And as we start, shall we just, let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage before us. We pray, Father, that as we look at it now, that you would indeed speak to our hearts and that we might come to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's just set the scene, shall we? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. There's a huge crowd following him. Jesus is well aware of what awaits him in Jerusalem. Crucifixion. He's been teaching that to the disciples over and over again on his way, but they cannot see or understand what he's on about. And in today's reading, we come across a blind beggar. He's sat there by the roadside and he's trying to get money to survive. Jericho is in a non-Jewish, a Gentile region. And so this guy, Bartimaeus, was not only a Gentile, but an outcast because he was a beggar. A beggar who was blind. So imagine the scene. A large crowd gathering in expectation, waiting for the arrival of Jesus of Nazareth. And the emphasis really isn't on the place Nazareth. Not like the Bishop of Chester or the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, but really Jesus the Nazarene. Nazarene meaning God's powerfully anointed one. Jesus, the one powerfully anointed by God, the Nazarene. And so the expectation, you can feel it building around the arrival of God's powerfully anointed one. Expectation. A few years ago, my son Thomas and I went to the Tour de France. And we were there on Alpe d'Huez on the 100th anniversary of the Tour de France. And we were there at 8 o'clock in the morning. A race didn't come through till about 2:30. And we were so excited. The expectation, the banter going on with people from France and Germany and all over the place, waiting for something to happen. Those riders to come through to see Chris Froome, to see, I won't name them, all those famous riders. The real expectation. And it's a little, tiny, tiny bit of that going on here. That kind of expectation that something's going to happen. Someone, Jesus, is going to make a difference. God's powerfully anointed. And Bartimaeus is waiting too. And he's not going to miss out on this. Not at all. Even though he's a nobody. Even though he's a blind beggar outcast. What's really interesting is that this blind Gentile nobody is determined to acknowledge Jesus for who he really is, the Son of David. Can you see it? He shouts it out, doesn't it, in verse 47. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This isn't some obscure title used by the blind beggar. Jesus uses this title of himself. It's loaded. The Son of David, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who brings healing and wholeness. Do you know what? The blind man can see far more than those with 20/20 vision. He can see what the religious leaders can't. In fact, they're the ones that are blind. Whereas the blind man can see. He recognizes Jesus for who he is and he shouts it from the rooftops. He'll not keep quiet. And how annoying that is for those gathered around. They try and shut him up. But no, it's Jesus' attention he craves. And he continues, Son of David, have mercy on me. They want to stop Bartimaeus from coming to Jesus. But do you know what? The kingdom of God is not for well-meaning people, but for those who are desperate. And Bartimaeus is desperate. Son of David, have mercy on me. And what's mind-boggling amazing is that this Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus, stops. He accepts Bartimaeus' evaluation of who he is, Son of David, and he stands still. The call of this helpless man stops Jesus in his tracks. He stood still for Bartimaeus. Oh, that we would understand that. That in our helplessness, when we call on the living God, he hears, he responds to us, yes, even us. The King stands still. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to pray. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and said, call him here. The response of Jesus to Bartimaeus' cry is to call him, to be brought over. The Son of Man calls this nobody to himself. That on its own is quite remarkable. God calls him over, and he calls us over too. The crowd's attitude changes from shut up in verse 49 to take heart, get up, he's calling you. And Bartimaeus responds in verse 50, so throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. No hesitation for Bartimaeus. He responds to the Savior's call immediately. Do we? Do I? Can we even hear him? Such is our spiritual blindness. He calls you even now. As you are, warts and all, as I am. Warts and all. Take heart, he's calling you. What's our response? Well, maybe I need to know more, you know. Well, he can't be calling me. I'm nobody. I've got too much baggage. I've got too many problems. I've done too much in the past, or I've not done enough. Or maybe, do you know what? I don't actually see that I have any need at all. I'm perfectly okay, thank you very much, Jesus. Which group do you fall into? Because be assured, whoever we are, we need Jesus. And what's more, he calls people to himself, all people. Blaise Pascal was a famous physicist and Christian in the 17th century. He's given his name to the units, kilopascals of pressure. You know when you go to the pump and it's not in PSI and you go, what do those numbers mean? That's him, it's pascals. He said there are two kinds of men, two kinds of people, the righteous who think they are sinners and sinners who think they are righteous. Which am I? Which are you? We all need a Savior. Whether we recognize it or not, and he calls you over. And Bartimaeus responds, well, no hesitation at all. He chucks off his cloak, perhaps his only possession, jumps to his feet and makes a beeline for Jesus. No hesitation. He knows what he wants and nothing's going to stop him getting to Jesus. He arrives and Jesus does something utterly staggering. Can you see it in verse 51? Jesus says to this nobody, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Now you might be like me and think, come on Jesus, it's pretty obvious what a blind man needs. He's blind. He wants to see. Just heal him. But Jesus isn't some impersonal miracle worker. No, he allows this man, this social outcast of a man, to express himself as a person. He doesn't ride roughshod over him. He allows this poor man the dignity of a human being, not as a social problem or a victim. What do you want me to do for you? And the man responds there in verse, second part of verse 51. The blind man says to him, "My teacher, let me see again." My teacher, let me see again. He addresses Jesus in quite an unusual way. Because teacher, or the word Rabboni, it's never a way of addressing another human being. It's a way of addressing God in prayer. Bartimaeus, the social outcast, was far from blind. He understood who Jesus is, God and Messiah. Exactly what doubting Thomas discovered of the risen Lord when he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him there in verse 52, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. What do you want Jesus to do for you as he calls you this morning, as he calls you over? And as he calls you, will you follow as Bartimaeus did, following him on the way through the twists and turns, the ups and downs of this life? Will you follow when he calls? And as chapter 10 closes, the stage is set for the climax of the whole of Jesus' ministry. The journey to Jerusalem is now ended. Jesus just about to enter the holy city where he'll be crucified. The now open eyes of this blind man stand in a stark contrast to the blindness of the religious leaders who are going to try to make an end of him by nailing him to a cross. Yet evil falls into the very hands of God as the Saviour dies for you and me and for all the world. Bartimaeus, a blind man who could see, who responded to the call of the Saviour. There's a challenge for us. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the faith of this man, this nobody who is named. And Father, thank you that in spite of all that we are and all that we do, you love us with an undying love, that you call us to walk the twists and turns of this tortuous life, holding on to you. And that's what we do, Father. We hold on to you. We cling to you as our Saviour and Lord, as our rock. Please help us. Help us in this life to be the kind of people you want us to be. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And we continue in prayer.